Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to your pleasant hour of post-lunch coma, and for those of you playing Pokemon Go, I'd appreciate it if you could keep it down. There's at least one person in here right now playing Pokemon. Welcome to Deploy, Manage, and Automate your Office 365 services with PowerShell. My name is Mark Rhodes, and this is Bruno Lancelot, and we'll be taking you through this session. So first off, quick introduction for me. My name's Mark Rhodes. I obviously like to hang out in dungeons, questing and the like. I'm a premier field engineer with Microsoft. I specialize with Azure Infrastructure as a Service and Azure Active Directory. And if you need to email me for any reason, before the session, after the session, whatever, you got my details up there on the screen.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Bruno Lancelot. As you can see, we're very serious people. Essentially, I'm an architect with an IT pro heart. I've been in the business for about 20 years in the Microsoft game with a background in Exchange and SharePoint Server and doing cloud work in the last three or so years. And as per what Mark said, you can always reach me at this email address as well.
All right, a quick caveat before we go any further. Who are the PowerShell ninjas in the room? Do we have anyone? This is not the session for you. This is a level 200 session. So it's an introductory session. We're going to be going through introductory commandlets. We're going to show you introductory concepts. And we're going to show you some Office 365 PowerShell tips that if you're an Office 365 ninja, you're probably aware of. If I say things to you like Office 365 PMP, does anyone know what that is? Right? It's not the session for you. Yeah. So if anyone's in the wrong place, please feel free to find another session. I don't want to discourage you from get you all leaving, but I want to make sure that everyone's in the right place to get value out of the session. So is everyone good? Anyone not good? Everyone look at me blankly for a second, if you're good. Yeah, we're good. Excellent. And also, too, it's going to be a light session. Right? We're going to be lighthearted where we can. We're going to take you through some concepts. Towards the end, I'll get a little bit heavier. And depending on how we're going for time, we might look at some really advanced stuff, definitely level 300 stuff, where you would be doing, say, automating Office 365 licensing with Azure Automation. Now, does that sound interesting to everyone, that kind of thing? Yeah, cool. We're in the right place. So to kick things off, we've decided to have a race. I kind of regret not finding a better graphic for this one, because I could have done like a guy on a scooter versus a jet or a rocket. But we're going to have a race. I'm going to do PowerShell to do a couple of very simple tasks. And Bruno, being the old timer he is going to go into a web browser and try to do the same tasks in the same time. Right? And what we're going to do is we're going to create a new group in Office 365. We're going to add personnel into that group. We're going to create a shared mailbox. We're going to create a project group site and grant full rights to that to the shared mailbox. We're also going to create a new site collection inside SharePoint Online, and we're going to give access to that site collection to the project group. Right? And we're going to see how long it takes comparatively if I use PowerShell and Bruno uses a web browser.
Yep.
So you'll be able to see my screen for this, sorry. So let's get started. Ready?
Yep.
Set, go. Right,
go. So I'm opening up. Ah, okay.
He's still got Google on his screen.
I got HTTPS.
Right. You didn't even spell it right. That's HPS.
Ah.
Right. So you can see I've been able to do a fairly complicated task, right, with just a couple of clicks. Now, yes, I did set up the script beforehand, but there's no reason I couldn't have put this into a function, a very easy function, and just run that function for a set number of usernames or a set group name or anything like that. Straight away, I'm trying to show you the value that PowerShell has just in terms of saving you time and energy and doing these repeatable, boring tasks that no one likes to do that can be just sped up so much by not going into a web browser and by going into PowerShell.
Right, so why PowerShell? Essentially, when you think about the GUI that you've got available in terms of Office 365, it's really, really good to be able to do specific actions on a given element, whether it's a user account or a team site, that kind of stuff. But really, when you're talking about bulk operations, not really the tool for that. So the very first thing for scripting is, whether it's PowerShell or other forms of scripting, is going to be the number one advantage is going to be you know, bulk operations. The number two advantage is easily going to be custom filters. If you want to do some funky filtering around, for example, number of users, you know, in the marketing group that also live in Auckland or Wellington with a mailbox size above a certain size. You can't do that out of the UI. So another reason to use PowerShell. On the back of number two is really the ability to export that information into, you know, CSV format or Notepad. I actually saw a really good example yesterday where they were exporting some data from mailboxes. I think it was the mobile phone type, and then importing that into Power BI. And that was really, really easy to do, just one line. The fourth reason is there are certain little functions that you can't actually do in the UI, such as deleting a site collection out of the recycle bin. You just can't do it in the UI at the moment, and you can do it from PowerShell. And there's other things with Exchange as well. And the last example, if you just want to keep going, the last example here is if you want to actually set up ADFS from scratch, you need to use PowerShell for that as well. Unless, of course, you use AD Connect, and I'm not sure if any of you guys went to Mark's session on Tuesday. Yep. Where we actually used, well, actually Mark used AD Connect to actually set up ADFS as well. So without that, you'd have to use PowerShell.
Now, when we talk about Office 365, unfortunately, there's a lot of components here. You guys know this already. You've probably been in the portal. You've seen you've got, you know, Skype for Business. You've got your mailboxes. You've got SharePoint Online. You've got the Azure Active Directory behind the scenes. And on top of that, you've got custom modules. So to deal with all of those little sections, you need to make sure you've got the right tools to do that. And these are all the modules you're going to need, generally, when you're working with PowerShell with Office 365. You're going to need the Azure Active Directory module. Now, interestingly enough, if you've got the Microsoft Online module, has anyone heard of that? Yeah, a couple of nods. Effectively the same thing, right? The commandlets are almost identical. There's a few new ones inside the Azure Active Directory module, but the base functionality is exactly the same. You're going to need Exchange Online. Now, that's not actually a module. You connect to that. We'll show you how to do that in a session. It's a remote PowerShell session that you connect to rather than a module. SharePoint Online is a module. You download it and install it, and then you're able to run it inside PowerShell. But to get SharePoint Online to work, you're going to need the Microsoft Online Services sign-in assistant, right? So you need to get the latest version of that, and you need to go and install that. Now, if you need to get any of those, we'll include the links in the deck that you can download after the session, so you can just click through and grab whatever you need. And lastly, if you want to do Skype for Business, you might need the Skype for Business module as well. So as I said, the prerequisites there are going to be the Microsoft Online Services sign-in assistant, Azure AD module for Windows, SharePoint Online Management Shell, and lastly, this is the other one, the Office 365 Dev PnP PowerShell commandlets. Now, the reason why we're including this one is Bruno is going to go into a lot of detail, but SharePoint Online commandlets only really let you do a little bit of things like creating sites and the like. The PnP commandlets allow you to go far beyond that, and that goes beyond the limit of sites and site collections and allows, goes beyond the limits of site collections and allows you to do things like create sites or add items to a list, that kind of thing. Now, this one's a bit contentious. Let's see, what's everyone's favorite script editor? Anyone want to throw one out? Code? VS Code's pretty popular. Yeah. Any other options? Notepad plus plus? Come on, there's too many pluses in that. Anyone still using Notepad for script development? Come on, I do it all the time. Yep. You can use whatever you want for PowerShell script development. There are advantages and disadvantages to each of them. If you're going to use Notepad, for instance, you're not going to get any of the IntelliSense that shows you, all your functions and all your parameters and the things like that. If you use VS Code, it's a pretty good one that shows you IntelliSense and the like. If you use, as you can see on the left here, PowerShell Ice, PowerShell Ice allows you to see some of that IntelliSense, view all the functions that you've got available to you, and it'll also allow you to run code in the same window so you can see outputs very quickly. Now, for the... And the admin password. Ah, joke's on you. I've already shown that one in a different session. No, I probably shouldn't tell you this. That was, as of this session, my default password for any of my Azure VMs, just so I've got them all the same in my ARM templates. When I do production deploys, I don't use that password. Okay. As I was about to say, for this session, nobody put that on Twitter, please. For this session, we're going to concentrate on using our PowerShell ICE. And the reason why is we've got all of the demo commands we want to run in a big command file. And we're going to step through them one by one, explaining what they do to you. It's probably the best and easiest editor if you're getting started. So with that, let's talk about the Azure Active Directory module. As I mentioned, it's pretty much the same as the Microsoft Online module that you may have downloaded in the past. It's just added some extra features for Azure Active Directory on top of it. When you connect to Azure Active Directory, you still do it by typing connect-msolservice. Right, so you can see under the covers, it really hasn't changed all that much. It's just got a bunch of new functionality added. Obviously, Windows Azure Active Directory, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is the identity store behind the Microsoft Cloud. If you're running Office 365, then by default, you've got Azure Active Directory. And if you've got Azure Active Directory, you've got users inside that. That's where your users are going to be stored. Office 365 can't exist without it, so it is heavily linked to Office 365. So let's start off by going to basic user operations. And the first thing I'm going to do is get out of my my little intro script, which has run off in the background and done everything that I needed to do while we've been talking. And I'll go off to my demo script. Now, I'll clear the screen. The first thing we're going to do is establish a credential object. Okay, now it's very easy to do that. We're just using this variable cred equals get hyphen credential. As soon as I run this, it's going to pop up a username and password prompt. And just like that, I've just stored a credential object. So if I want to have a look at that, I can just go in here and you can see I've managed to store a username and password, the password's in a secure manner. And I can use that to connect to any of the Microsoft services now using that username and password. In fact, it's very easy. All we need to do is connect hyphen MSOL service and pass through that credential object. Can everyone see that screen all right? Is it not too small?
Yep, thumbs up, yep.
Good. Just thinking a moment, usually not this slow. There we go. And you can tell that I've actually connected because I could issue a command like get hyphen MSOL user. That's going to retrieve all of the Microsoft Online users in my directory. And I'll run that. And you can see straight away that inside this tenancy, I've got about 25 odd users with user principal names, display names, and the fact that if they're licensed or not coming up. Now, in this case, almost all of my users are unlicensed, so they're not going to be able to do much. And we'll address that as we go through this session. Now, if we want to, we can do other things with some of these commandlets. Like, for instance, with get-msolUser, I can format the output into a list. That's what FL stands for, format list, with first name and display name as the only things inside the list. If I run that, it's coming up in this format here. Now, list formats are great when you want to display a lot of information about each object, but that's probably not the most intuitive way to do it. So, in this case, I'll just deviate a little bit. I'll put this in here, and I'm going to change the FL to an FT. Does anyone know what FT does? Format table, yeah. And you can see now that I've got first name and display name showing up in a nice, easy-to-use table. We can also do some basic filtering. If we want to, we can filter based off category or a wildcard. In this case, I'm just going to say get hyphen MSOL user, and I'm going to pipe that through. Now, for any really rookies in the room who don't know PowerShell very well, the pipe allows you to pass the output of one command into the input of another command, which is why PowerShell is so powerful. You can, you know, chain these commands together. So in this case, I'll pipe get hyphen MSOL user, which is that output we saw of the users, through to select star. Now, anyone want to take a guess what select star is going to do? Yeah, it's going to return them all. Yep, and you can see it returned all of the users there in with all of their attributes. Now, if I want to filter down more, I could say get hyphen MSL user where object department equals finance. And this is a very basic query that we're running across the object. So when we issue get hyphen MSOL user, we're effectively creating an object, and then we're looking inside the object to say where objects inside that have the property of department equal finance. So if I run that, it's probably not going to return any results. And the reason why is I don't have any users in the department of finance. But if I change that to say sales and run it, straight away we start getting results. So you can see how easily we can start querying PowerShell to find groups of users or user characteristics, and then using the pipe command, apply commandlets to them. If I want to return just one user, I can do that by issuing the user principal name. Now, in this case, I'm using danj@emroads.net, which is a user I know that exists in my directory. And if I issue that, it's just going to return these three fields here. We can change that a little bit by going get hyphen MSOL user dash user principal name, danj@emroads.net, and piping that to select star. Now, anyone want to take a guess what this is going to do? Sorry, what was that? It's going to return all the properties, that's right. So we can find every little bit of information that we've got stored about Dan Jay. We can see that his title is CEO, that his usage location is inside Australia. Right. Again, this is for you to navigate the user objects and find things to filter on so you can really make constructive PowerShell commandlets. Now, the next one we're going to go for.
Can I just interrupt you for a sec? I think we need to do a ninja pose.
Oh, photographer's here. So should we get into dynamic poses? Yes? Yep. All right.
All right.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Ninja? Ninja like the...
You go behind me. How about this one?
No, yeah. Awesome. Because you missed out last time.
I missed out in the last session.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
ran out too quickly. It's all good. Thank you very much. Everyone's going to appreciate
excellent.
That.
Excellent. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Back to serious business.
Yes.
Now, a lot of scenarios, this particular commandlet's not going to be much use to you. If you've got your own on-premises corporate domain, you're probably going to be synchronizing up to the cloud, right? You're going to provide those users up into the cloud. Now, that, in this case, might not be valuable, but there might be a situation where you need to create a user. And the quickest way to create a user is going to be by opening PowerShell. And creating a user is really this easy. You just go new hyphen MSL user dash user principal name, test123 in my case, at mod272526.onmicrosoft.com, which is my Office 365 subscription. First name test, last name 123, and display name is test123. I'll just wait for it to return. So you can see I've gone through and I've created that. Now there are going to be two problems. One of them is on the screen right now. Can anyone pick what the problem is if we're going to use this user? It's unlicensed. Now off the screen, there's another problem. Can anyone guess what it is? Doesn't have a password. That's exactly right. We haven't specified a password here. So if we need to set a password, I think it's going to be a pretty common thing that if you're up in the cloud and you don't have a synchronized directory, you're going to have to set passwords for users. Pretty easy to do that. You can do it with just this. Set hyphen MSOL, use the password with their user principal name and the new password that they're going to have. Just like that, that user's been licensed, and anyone in the audience could in fact now log in with that user if they wanted to. They wouldn't be able to do much because there's no permissions granted and there's no license assigned, but they could log in. Okay. That takes us back out to here. Rather than flick back and forward between the slide deck, I'm going to stick inside PowerShell because that flicker of the screen is quite obnoxious. So we'll move on. We're going to move on to groups now. And as you can see, inside Office 365, if I run this command, there are already a lot of groups that exist already. All right, and you can see I've created a group here down the bottom. It's quite obviously been created by me because I've got the very descriptive name of blah. if we wanted to create a new group, we can do that very easily with new hyphen group dash display name, and in this case I pick customer service personnel. Just like that, that group's added. But that's not going to be much use, is it? Right? I need to add members to that group, and I need to give permissions to that group. Otherwise, there's not much point in even having it there. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get the group ID, which I'm going to use for commandlets later. So it's quite a complicated query there where I say get hyphen MSOL group. I'm doing a where the display name equals customer service personnel. And then I want you to return the object ID. And inside that object ID, I've got an object called GUID. And that's what I'm returning, just the text of that object. So if I run that, and if I type in group ID, you can see I've now got this value here, which is the ID of the group itself. And I can use that for future commandlets now. So if I want to, for instance, set a description on a group, this one's going to be, I'll set a description to this is a group. And now, if I go, I think that's right, I've got a typo on the original, so I'm gonna make sure I copy that typo. And you can see, there we go, descriptions come in. This is a group. So very easy operation to do. Okay, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to quickly pull up our old friend Dan J and have a look at a couple of the object IDs here. So you can see the user accounts themselves also have an object ID within Office 365. So if I know the object ID of a group and I know the object ID of a user, then I can use those IDs to add a user into a group. So very easy to do that. And you can see in this command, I've already pre-populated the object ID for Dan Jump with his GUID here. Okay, so just like this with add hyphen MSOL group member, I've got the group member object ID, that's Dan's ID, and I've also got the group object ID, which is the ID of the group, and I've been able to add him into that group. And let's just confirm that's the case by doing this one, which is get hyphen MSOL group member with the group ID. So Dan's been added into that group. Now, on its own, this may not seem that valuable, but when you've got big CSV files that you want to process to add lots of members into unique groups, this makes a lot of sense. Okay, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to go and have a look at the MSOL roles, because inside Office 365, we've got groups and we've got roles. And as you can see, roles themselves are effectively permissions that are being granted to effectively to groups. So you can add a role, sorry, you can add a group into a role, or you can add a user into a role. Now if we have a look at this one here, which is get hyphen MSOL role member with the role object ID of 62390 whatever, it's going to return back that, I think that's my administrator group, only has the tenant administrator inside it. If I wanted to, it'd be very easy for me to add Dan Jump into that particular group. So you'd have that, sorry, into that role, so you would have the permissions of an administrator. Now, as you can see, the number of roles inside Office 365 is growing. There are heaps in there. If you need to, you can add your own custom roles as well. But you should be able to find a role that suits whatever you need your user to have. So what we might do quickly is we might add in Dan to that group and have a look. Sorry, add Dan to that role. Okay, so I've used add hyphen MSOL role member. And now if I run that get hyphen MSOL role member query again, it's going to show that Dan is now a member of that group. Very, very simple, very easy to do. Okay, there's one last bit we'll go through before we return to the slide deck. And that's dealing with your subscription and your licensing. Now, we're going to come back to this at the end of the session, but by issuing get hyphen MSOL subscription, we can pull back the actual subscription itself and see exactly what's in there. I can see I've got the subscription that is enabled. It's got 25 licenses inside it, and we can see the license SKUs as enterprise premium. In fact, if I issue get hyphen MSOL account SKU, it'll return back even more detail. It'll show me the SKU itself, the number of active units, and the number of consumed units. Now, before you can actually license a user, there is something you need to do. You need to set its usage location, and that's not set by default. Right, so let's say we take the example Anna L at emroads.net. We're going to first off set her usage location to AU for Australia. We can do that by typing set-msolUser, user principal name, anna.l@mroads.net, usage location Australia. Now it's going to show Anna as a user inside Australia. Next thing we need to do is to set the license for her. And what we're going to do is, I'm going to skip that because I know she doesn't have the license. I'm going to skip straight forward to set-msolUserLicense, user principal name, anna.l@mroads.net, and I'm going to add the license of Enterprise Premium. Now if we go back a couple of steps and check this one again, the number should have gone down. It should say 2 consumed and 25 active. There we go. So we've assigned a license very easily to a user. Okay, let's go back to our slide deck. In fact, let's keep it outside the slide deck for now. I don't think we have anything we really need in there. Let's talk about Exchange Online, because Exchange Online is a little bit different. You don't have a PowerShell commandlet you install locally. Exchange Online, what you do is you create you connect to a remote session, and it's very easy to do that. Now, we've already got that credential object. You remember we established that earlier? And you can see we're calling that here, in this statement here. Now, again, you don't need to memorize this. No, I don't think anyone does. I've got it in a notepad window on my desktop, so if I need to connect, I can just open it up. You could write it into a function if you wanted to. Come see me about that later. But all we're going to do, in most cases, is copy and paste the contents into a PowerShell window, or run it like this. You can see session equals new PS session, configuration Microsoft.exchange. Connection URI is ps.outlook.com/PowerShell. The credential object is being passed through. The authentication mechanism is basic, and it allows it to be redirected. And then what it's going to do is import the session, which means bring it into my local terminal. Should be done by now, but never know. Yes? Sorry? Yes, it is. Yep. And you can tell that because it's going to the connection URI of HTTPS. Yes?
Is this working with MFA yet? For Azure
AD MFA or?
Yeah, but just for exchanging anything.
Yeah. What you're going to see when you do that is, have you got, let me just refine that question. Do you have Azure MFA, as in Azure AD MFA, or Azure MFA server? Okay, great. In that case, what should happen is when you establish the session, as long as you've got the latest version of, I think you need the latest version of the Azure AD commandlets, it should just work fine.
Okay.
Yeah, you should be, well, it'll sit there waiting when you ask the credential object. And I could probably show you really quickly, actually. No, I don't have it installed. No, I can't show you right now, sorry. Happy to take it up after the session, though. Yep. All right, something funny is happening there, and I suspect what we need to do is just close ICE and reopen it to get it to working. So just make sure everything's saved. Close it all off. Okay, so let's just quickly, we only need to do a couple of steps to get back to that point. So,
as admin, ICE as admin.
Sorry?
ICE as admin.
Do we need to? No. No, it's not necessary. Okay, and let's try it again. I suspect it's because I might have opened it before, and so I might be trying to establish a session inside a session. There we go. Do we have any other questions while we're waiting? Yes. Yeah, that's right. Certain modules need remote execution or unsigned, or there's another one as well, which is
unrestricted.
Unrestricted, yeah. So if you've downloaded a script from the internet, there's a good chance it hasn't been signed. Right? And it's a good chance by default your PowerShell is set up that it wouldn't even take remote signed. So what you're going to need to is set your execution policy. And it's very easy to do. You just do this. Set execution policy. Execution policy, and you can say remote signed, or you could say unrestricted. I'm going to say unrestricted just because I know that's what it's on currently. Yep, you can see it's saying the execution policy helps protect you from scripts you do not trust. I'll say no to all for that for now because we don't really need it for the demo. Now, let's keep going with Exchange. Now, Exchange is a little bit different. The commandlets you're going to run are more similar to Exchange on-premises. Who has Exchange on-prem? And who's used to using PowerShell on it? Keep your hands up. Yep. So you guys are going to be fine. If you're going into hybrid Exchange, you really do need to know these commandlets. A few of these two examples, for example, are you could say get-user, right? And you could say dash filter department equals sales and recipient type equals user mailbox. So I'm going to look for any user mailboxes that are in the department sales. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear all of that.
Yeah, I couldn't hear that.
No, it doesn't. It brings whatever's on your, effectively you're connecting to a remote session. So whatever PowerShell commands I run here are really being piped up to a remote session on an Exchange server in Exchange Online. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Something has gone wrong there, and I can see exactly what it is. There we go. Let's try that again. Sorry? You're correcting my working PowerShell script. No, it's fine. No, they say if it's not broken, don't fix it. But okay. What I want to do now is you can see I've got user mailboxes in the department sales. If I want to, I can use get-user filter department equals sales and set the mailbox max send size to 2 meg. So I really want to cripple the sales guys. So let's try that again. Sorry, I know it's the same thing again there. And just like that, I've set their max send size at to 2 meg. All right, so they're not going to be able to do much with their email, which is the way I like it. Now, that's taking a while to go, and I think we're actually running a little bit behind.
Behind, though. Yeah, actually we are.
Okay, what we might do is we'll swap back over and we'll go talk about some of the SharePoint side of things. There was one thing I wanted to do here. I wanted to show you how to create a new mailbox. So we'll just see, it's still going. Because it's going through each of these users and then running the command that set-mailbox against each of them. So it could take a little while to go. So I'm just going to break out of that. What I want to do is I want to create a new mailbox. And the aim of this is to create a shared mailbox. So I'm going to create a mailbox called Printing Services 2 with the alias print2 type shared. That one shouldn't take too long. Next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to set the mailbox so that it's got a send receive quota of 5 gig, a prohibit send quota of 4.75 gig, and an issue warning quota of 4.5 gig. This tells us when the mailbox gets full, this is the behavior we're going to take. And lastly, once this is finished loading, I'm also going to take that mailbox, and because it's not much good as a shared mailbox if I'm not sharing it with anyone. And I'm going to share it with Dan J. And Dan J is going to have the access rights of full access. All right, I'm going to leave that to sit because it's taking longer than it usually does to return the mailbox. Let's move on to the SharePoint online.
Sure, absolutely. Yep. Great, thank you, Mark. All right, so before we get started, just out of curiosity, show of hands for people using SharePoint on-premises right now or have it deployed. Yep, good. And SharePoint online? Yeah, great. That's fantastic. All right. Are you guys using PowerShell at the moment for those? Yep, excellent. Okay, so really what we're going to talk about, just to on the back of some of the things that Mark has said before in terms of prereqs is, again, recapping on some of those. So in terms of prereqs, we need to ensure that we've got the management shell module installed and we are a SharePoint Online Global Administrator. So with all good things being cloud, these things evolve quite quickly. There used to be about 30 commands, now there's about 49, I did a count yesterday. And what I've done, and there's a link there obviously to all the commands, the whole list of them. What I've done specifically is created a really, really ugly slide, lock the doors please, to kind of show you all of them in one, so that we can sort of go through and have a look at the sort of options that you have. And there's kind of a story to this. The reason I'm doing this is because once we get into the next section, which is the PNP stuff, you'll understand where I'm heading here. So, here they all are. as you can see from a categories perspective, you've got everything from, you know, site collection and your basic kind of creation, deletion of site collections, removing them out of the recycle bin, to basic user management around permissions and groups. And you can see there's a few other system level or services level type commands for example, SPO tenant sync client restrictions that you can do for OneDrive for Business, and a few others around upgrading and repairing and those kind of things. The reason I wanted to sort of talk about this is because it's quite different to the approach with PNP that we'll talk about later. So do we have time for demo, do you think?
It's up to you.
Yeah, absolutely, okay. So to make things even easier, what Microsoft have done is created this awesome site, all Java-based, to actually help you with the commands. So I don't think it can get any easier than this, essentially. So what you can do here, ooh, the resolution's a bit small, but that's okay, is you can actually drag and drop verbs. Oops, sorry. I should tell you there's a few options here. We're going to pick SharePoint Online, obviously, for this demo today, which drops a subset of verbs a little. And you can actually create your commands on the fly. Really, really nifty, because what it does is it gives you all the required parameters that you need to worry about, all the optional ones. And down here, if you click on the actual link down here, you actually get more information at your disposal as well. Really, really easy. Once you're done with filling in your forms, you basically copy it to clipboard, and off you go. I don't think you can get it much easier than that. Has anyone ever used this? Because it's been around for a while, but not many people actually use it or have seen it. No?
I didn't know about it. So.
Yeah. Excellent. So what we're going to do, I'm going to cheat a little, is grab a few. Where are those scripts again, Mark? Because we closed this before. SPO? Yep, cool. Oh. Yeah, the first one. Thank you very much. Actually, I'll open up both while I'm here. So what we're going to do here, I'll just reduce this a little, is just to make things a little bit quicker, because I think we're running a bit short on time now.
Okay, you do import the module at the top?
Yes. I'm just pinching some of these values here. Is I'm going to use that to fill in my fields here. So I'm just going to call this site BML1. Owner will be admin at mod272526.onmicrosoft.com. And storage quota, this is in meg, so we'll just go 1,000. And as far as templates concerned, we'll just go the usual. Actually, no, I won't create a template on purpose, because I'll show you what happens there. And as far as the title's concerned, we'll just go like that. So there you go. It's actually constructed our command for us. All we really need to do, copy it to the clipboard, and there you go. And now we're ready to go back into ICE and run it from there. But before I do that, I just wanted to show you the modules and the connection to your SharePoint admin site. So the key difference here, and the point I want to make, is that, you know, as per usual, we grab our user credentials into a variable. So I think Mark's already done that. And then we connect to the admin instance. See this little dash admin here? That's basically the URL for your tenant admin site here. So if you look at that URL up top, it's basically the same thing. And I'm just going to refresh that, because I have since deleted that site. Yep, and as you can see, there is no BML1 site there. So switching back to ICE, we are simply going to run these two. All I'm doing here is running these two lines to connect to the admin instance. Now, I'm not going through and worrying about the credentials, because Mark's already done that in this session. While that's running, I'm simply going to paste this command in. And it's still connecting.
Yeah, user credential. It's meant to be double cred.
I beg your pardon?
See how you're being prompted for credentials? It's because you used user credential here.
Oh, okay.
$cred.
Right, okay. We'll do this again then.
That's right. Just edit it quickly.
Stopping.
Oh, or just, yeah, enter your creds again.
Yeah. I'll just wait for that to stop. I thought we were using the same variable.
Nope.
There you go.
Go team. Now, just let's get a show of hands in the room quickly while Bruno's doing that. How many people are using SharePoint Online at the moment? And how many people, keep your hands up if you'd like to see the SharePoint Online PNP commandlets? Yeah, a few people. How many people would like to see Azure Automation and using that to automatically set your licensing up? So a lot more?
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay. So we'll
might skip the PNP.
No worries.
After all that work you did.
I don't know. Well, if anyone wants to talk about PNP after, come and see me.
Yeah, we'll be right outside if you want to talk to us. We're happy to go through any of the other components.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, so we've connected. So what we're going to do here is actually run that command. So I had copied and pasted that from the PowerShell builder into ICE. Really quite simple. Just wait for that to run.
Bit slow today.
Bit slow. Let's, what was the next one to go through?
Yeah, so the next example I was going to go through was essentially going back to the PowerShell builder and showing you how to create, for example, a group. So really the example here is, or what I wanted to orchestrate is, these commands are fantastic, and they kind of cover both the services and the site collection or the content layer. Now, where this falls short is actually going specifically into more detail around the content SharePoint elements. So things like content types, custom lists, all those kind of things, managed terms. You won't get that out of SPO, but you'll certainly get that out of PNP. There's 173 commands, and it's just a really, really good effort from the community there. And essentially PNP, just to go through it really quickly, so we started in 2013 by a group of Microsoft consultants around the time of the SharePoint app model, where they were trying to convert all the full trust code into the app model. It has since evolved, and there's a huge collection of PowerShell scripts now, and I really recommend that you have a look at those. It's very, very simple to install.
That's the wrong one.
Wrong one?
Yeah, I just displayed the hidden slide. True professionals. That's right. We'll come back to it.
Okay.
If you wanted to go to PMP, the easiest way to find more about PMP is?
Yeah. Yep. So essentially, if you wanted to download and get started with this really, really quickly, all you need to do is really get to this site. We'll have it in our slides when we upload it. Download the binary. So this is very similar to the modules that we talked about before. Install it, and of course, this also works on premises, but in this context, we're talking about SharePoint Online here. So install the last one there, and I'll just show you all the commands stored under documentation. And you'll see about 170 of them, and they're really, really cool, really, really easy.
Yeah, you can do all the stuff you can't do inside SharePoint Online Management Console.
Yep, great.
Okay, we're going to skip ahead, and I'm going to show you how to do the automatic licensing. First thing is everyone seen this before? Yeah, I'd imagine if you've been at Ignite for a few days, you've seen this a few times, it's Azure. To do what I'm going to show you how to do, you need an Azure subscription. Now, it doesn't have to have any money on it because you can run Azure Automation effectively free, right, as long as you're under the number of automation jobs, that is the free limit. I think it's something like 5,000 jobs a month, so you should be okay. So what I'm going to do is just go new. I'll type in automation and hit enter. And the first thing that's going to come up is Azure Automation. Now, you won't believe how simple this is to do, and I'm going to give you the code to do it as well. So I'm going to click create on automation and create a new automation account. So I'll just call it M365 demo. I'll pin it to the dashboard. Oh, it doesn't like that. Probably because I've already created it. And I'll click create. That's how easy it is. Now, what that's going on behind the scenes is it's creating the resource group for my automation accounts, and it's going and creating a runners account for me to run with. And it shouldn't take very long at all. It should only take about a minute for that to go through. While that is going through, I'm just going to flick back to my other browser and show you something very quickly. On my GitHub account, I know I'm an IT pro with GitHub, I'm so progressive. GitHub.com/Mahod, you can get to my public GitHub. And you can see I'll have a bunch of repositories here. Now, the one you're looking for is Office 365 Licensing Automation. Now, if you want to get to that, I've got a bit.ly address, or you can just take a screenshot quickly of GitHub.com/Mahod. Hopefully, if we go back to the other window, it'll be finished by now. And there we go. The automation account looks like it's... No, that's the right one. Okay, first things first. I'm going to need to go in, and I'm going to need to create an account. Why do you think I might need to create an account? I can hear a lot of mumbling. Someone yell it out. Connect to SharePoint. Well, connect to Office 365. Or connect to MS Online. Yes, most definitely. So what I do is I come in here to my assets, and I go to credentials, and I'll just add a credential. What's the session number again?
526?
272526? Yes. Okay. Cool. And the username will be admin@...
Yep.
There we go. And all that's doing is that's saving in a secure location my username and password. And then I can use that object to connect to things. The very next thing I'm going to need to do is go over to modules. Now, by its own, Azure Automation allows you to run PowerShell scripts, but to get to Office 365 or Azure AD, you need to import what? The PowerShell module. And it's very easy to do it. All you have to do is go Browse Gallery, type in MS Online. That was kind of cool. Let's just go back to the start. Assets, modules, browse gallery. Okay, and I'll just type in MS Online. And you can see I've got that module there. And all I need to do is import it. And that'll take a second once I've clicked OK to do it. So we'll leave that be and just assume it'll go through. And the last thing we're going to need to do is go back to our automation account and go to runbooks, because we're going to create a new runbook. And runbooks are your PowerShell scripts. So we'll just create a very simple runbook. Now, if you were using my script, you could just hit import instead of create. But we'll go this way and call it... The runbook type will be... just a PowerShell, and this my Office 365 users, and I'll click Create. Now, again, the steps to do this are on the GitHub site as well. Very easy to do. Once the runbook's created, which we'll let it just do that, I'm just going to go back over to here, and I'm going to get the code for it quickly, and I do that by going to the GitHub repository, clicking on the PS1 file, and then if I want to make sure I've got good syntax, I click raw, just copy and paste that in. Oh, and I can see a problem with that, but that's all right, I can fix that on the fly. Okay. And all I need to do is copy and paste that code in there. Now, I've got it ready to go for my domain, and what it's going to do is connect to Microsoft Online. It's going to check to make sure all the users have their usage location set, if they're on the domain emroads.net, which is my synchronized users. Then for every single one of the users, it's going to check to see if it's licensed, and if it's not your license, then add it into the license that I've defined. So all I have to do now is click Save, click Publish, and I'll say Yes, and click Start. Now, I'll show you one thing while that's running, because no doubt it will break and not work properly because I'm demonstrating it live, but while it's running, I'll show you this. If we go to Schedule, we can then link a schedule to the runbook and say, I want to schedule this, say, we'll call it 6 hourly. That's probably reasonable, isn't it? 6 hours to license a user. Yep. And we'll say it's recurring every 6 hours. Now, what you could do is work out how many runs you're going to get for free and then divide that by the number of times you want to run it and keep it free that way. So that's probably what I'd do. And I'll just click Create. So now I've got a scheduled task that's going to run through and license all my users. Now, is that pretty handy to have? A couple of people nodding. Does everyone understand how I did it? Yep. And let me just ask one more question, then you can have your question. Does everyone know where to go to get that? GitHub.com/mahod. Yep. Okay. Let me just see how that's going. And then I'll come back to you for your question. Oh, look at that, it completed. No errors. So in theory, if we come back here, which is not likely because it seems to have halted. That's just wonderful. Okay. ICE can be interesting to use. So let's just quickly ignore that and we'll go over to portal.microsoftonline.com. Which is running quite slowly as well. I can't believe that's frozen on me. Mm. Okay, fortunately we're logged in. So what we can do is we can go to, where's the admin site? And I just want to show you, because you all saw that it wasn't licensed before, right? Right at the start of this session. So if we go through now and have a look, every user should be licensed. This is really running slowly, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I noticed it this morning, actually, when we were testing out the demos.
What was your question in the meantime?
So in the script, I noticed that you're saying the script doesn't license users. Is there a way to get more fine-grained than that? Because you've got below 365
because of the strange. Yep. Did you want to, so you want to do licensing on a more fine-grained level? So do you want to disable services, or are you saying you want to license specific users? Okay, let's just, oh, come on, look at that. After running successfully, it all says unlicensed. That totally worked last night. I'm not sure what's going on. It's maybe that something's gone wrong. Maybe the credential hasn't worked. It could be, it ran really quickly last night, but 365 is running really slowly today for me right now. I think it's just everyone's, you know, using Pokemon Go on the Twitter. So ignoring that, the script actually works, the runbook should work, you can import it. Answering your question on licensing, if you want to do fine grain, say you want to say these, there's two parts to this. Let's say you've got a group of people and you want to assign this group an E3 license and this group an E1 license. Yes, you can do that very easily by just saying, if users in this group, assign this license. If users in the other group, assign that license. Easy to do. If you want to take a user account and say, I don't want to give these people mailboxes, but I want them access to SharePoint Online, right, it's easy to do. You have to create a custom licensing object. And you can do that by diving into the get-msol account SKU commandlet, which will help you construct that. The custom licensing object is, it's effectively just a little collection of objects, and you say, each of the categories of license that you want to assign or don't assign. If you drop me an email, more than happy to help you with that. Yes? When a user is removed from the group, you'd need to write a custom script to deallocate that license. So I've got plenty of scripts. I don't have one that does that, though. Yeah, it would be very easy to write that, though. So go through and say, you know, quickly, just check and see if a user's in a group, and if they've, you know, not in the group, then remove the license. If they're in the group, add the license. Mm. Yeah. Let me just. There you go. This gentleman here has the answers. Can you put them on GitHub for everyone? Okay. Okay. That's all right. Let's just do a quick summary and then we'll just go to questions because we're really tight on time.
Yeah.
So a quick summary is the best thing about PowerShell and things like Office 365 are you can ensure that things like users are licensed, or you can ensure something called idempotency, which is means effectively that you're going to get the same result every time you do something, right? Environments will be identical. If you're running different tenancies, you can make sure they're completely identical. You can minimize your administrative overhead. You saw how quickly I could go through and run a script compared to Bruno opening a web browser. And you can do a lot of bulk operations. If you want to do anything in bulk, PowerShell is most definitely the way. Everyone out there, I'm sure, has a CSV file that they've tried to do something to in the past to automate a process. You import a CSV file, and then you run commandlets against it. It's that easy. Both of us are more than happy to answer any questions, share our scripts with you. If you have anything you'd like to ask us right now, please go ahead. Otherwise, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Any questions? Well, no? All right. Yes. So, you're going to have to say that one more time. I heard parts of it. Yeah, you can. There are ways to run Azure Automation against on-premises servers. Do you want to come and have a chat or drop me an email and I'll take you through it? Any other questions? Yes. In Azure? At least a year? Yeah, it's been there quite a while. It's evolving really quickly, but it's pretty cool, isn't it? If you get a chance, have a look in there, because there's more than just, you saw there was PowerShell scripts and also PowerShell workflow. PowerShell workflow is awesome. It's basically a PowerShell script that can be resumed or stopped. It's really cool. It's no problem with breakpoints and things like that. And there's also drag and drop workflow in there if you want to do workflow programming. So no worries.